It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars.
It's Tuesday, June 8th, 2021. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
Here's another podcast review from iTunes. And tell me if you think this person is a loyal BNS head. It's from Robot Bryce. Says, Beckler and Shauna have been a listener since it first started and still look forward to it every day. Would rate it 19 rice cookers out of 10.
That's amazing.
You got two references there.
Yep.
You got the scale that goes way too high.
Yep.
And you got rice cookers.
Reference to an ass.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Bryce gets it.
Bryce, love ya.
Bryce listens to the Pisscast.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I saw a group of guys on the weekend wearing swim trunks with underwear underneath. Why is that a thing? Like, when I was growing up and I saw that, I used to always think that these were guys who were nervous they were going to get a bit of a boinker or something, so they wanted an extra layer of protection. That's all I could think, because it was the younger, like, when we were younger, obviously.
I can explain this one to you.
Okay.
So, swim trunks traditionally have a liner in them.
Mm-hmm.
Board shorts don't.
Right.
So, when we started wearing board shorts, there was no liner, and you kind of, like, float too freely in there.
Oh.
So... we did too. We wore underwear under our board shorts just to kind of keep everything contained. Not to mention...
but board shorts are different than swim trunks, are they not?
Yeah, they don't have a liner.
But what I mean is I always thought that, you know, swim trunks would have the liner and that those are the people that were wearing the underpants underneath. But no, is it just that they didn't have a liner? So that's why.
Well, that's why we did it. That's why we would wear.
Okay. So maybe they were wearing board shorts and not actual swim trunks and they didn't have a liner.
And not to mention, like, depending on the material your board shorts were made out of, it could be quite see-through once they got wet.
Right.
I wore a pair of swim trunks for a year that were totally see-through and nobody told me. And then...
everybody could see your lap rocket for a full year, hey? Just
for sure,
there,
my
like,
piss
oh
weasel.
My God, look at that Tropic Thunder.
Yep. I was like 14. I was horrified.
That's awkward.
But then we started then I started wearing underwear under those board shorts because I don't know why board shorts don't have a liner, but they didn't.
Okay, because again, like, I get the board shorts thing because they're shorts. That makes sense. You wear underwear, but when you see guys like swimming in what I thought were swim trunks, then I was always confused by that. But yeah, maybe they're using these board shorts as their swim trunks without a liner. And I suppose that you gotta keep it all in there. Keep it contained. Put your tallywhacker in and make sure it doesn't escape.
Maybe they don't want like that vacuum seal effect that happens when you come out of the out of the pool, out of the water.
Yeah, I get that.
Where
you can see it all, you know?
Where your Matthew Schneider looks like Han Solo when he's frozen in carbonite. It's all...
just. Like, wow, there is a tree frog in there. Like that, you got to get that unattached. Like, figure that one out. Wow, it's clinging off for dear life. Just smushed up in there.
Like it was shrink wrapped at the deli.
Yeah.
No one likes that. No one likes that.
Nope.
So,
wow,
that's a possible explanation.
That's true. You need to lose. You don't want the shrink wrap look.
I bought some trunks yesterday, actually.
Oh, do they have a liner?
Yesterday, they have a liner, and they're like an opaque material. So. You don't have to worry about
seeing your schmeckle.
About seeing my Bobby Dangler.
Okay, that's good. So. Nobody wants that.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Did you ever go to summer camp as a kid, Shauna?
I did not.
No, I didn't either, and I really feel like I missed out.
Yeah, I've thought about that before. My mom was a teacher, though, so she was home.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad owned his own business. So because of that, there was always a parent to look after me. So I never needed to go to camp, right? For my parents' sake, at least. And we would kind of just go traveling or do whatever as a family instead. But yeah, I do. Like, there's all so many movies and stuff about summer camp. It always looks fun.
Yeah, because McKenna was asking if we should put Bowen camp this summer. And she said, like, camp was some of her best memories ever growing up.
Wow.
Going away for a week. I did a week-long hockey camp when I was about 14.
Yeah,
Notre Dame College, if you're familiar with it. But it was, I love that, but it was always a challenge for me because of my diet. So I always had, like, I never went to camp because I was like, what am I going to eat for the week? What if they make food that I don't like?
Right.
Like, I'll be in big trouble. So I kind of missed out on that.
Mm.
And it sucks because, like, my friends went to one every year, and it was all based around water sports. They loved to wakeboard, so they would go to this camp that was all about wakeboarding, and it was cool. I think the camp had a boat, and then some of the other guys on the lake who had boats would come and like take turns driving for the kids too.
That's wicked.
And one of those guys was Robin Regeer former Calgary Flame.
Wow.
Which is a really cool thing to do if you got a nice wakeboard boat. Hey, I'm going to go drive the kids from camp around for a bit. And my friends, they would have all these stories and these friends from camp, and they'd meet all these hot girls that then we'd see at different events around the city. And I was like, I missed out on all of that, right? Because I was afraid to go because of my diet. But
I went to a band camp once, but it was just like a 4-day. That was my excitement. And it was exactly what you would think. It was a lot of nerdy band people
hooking up,
all was hanging it, out. And
was it like an overnight thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that counts, I think.
Yeah.
That counts.
I don't know if it counts. Nope.
The only thing is that most of these camps were Bible camps, right? So people would come back and they'd be super cranked on Christ for about a week or so.
Okay.
And then the glow of camp would wear off. But I think the churches and the youth groups and stuff, they hit you hard when you're at Bible camp.
Probably.
Because they've got kids who are away from their parents for the first time. They're having all these great new experiences.
They got a captive audience.
They sure do, man.
Oh, yeah.
What better place to get them with some religion?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously that's what the parents want too, or they probably wouldn't send their kids there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a little bit apprehensive about that element of it with my own kids. Like McKenna's like, we could send them to the Bible camp that I went to growing up. And I was like, that'd be cool. But are they I guess I could. Do you have to deprogram them when they come back?
No.
You don't think so? They're getting programmed at Bible camp, so.
You said that they're cranked for a week and then it wears off.
That's true. So, yeah.
Yeah. You'll get a week of Jesus chat and then you'll be moving on.
One of my friends wrote a song about his friend going to Bible camp and how they were going to brainwash him there. Okay. And
that's really funny.
The chorus is him just yelling, they're going to brainwash Joel over and over again for a week.
And then he's gone. He's back.
He stuck with it.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, they got him. But
okay. Well, I mean, there's always
Bible
a few.
Camp, but
I guess that stick with it. And there you go.
Probably made some lifetime friendships and
with
great
Jesus.
Memories there too.
Yeah.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
A friend of mine heard us talking about Ranchmans on the air recently, and she's not from Calgary, so she misheard it, and so she brought it up to me, and she was like, "That Wenchman's place sounds insane." I was like, "No, not Wenchman's." Ranchmans.
Where's this Wenchmans now? Oh, how does a guy get there?
That's what I was thinking. I thought about it. I was like, actually, Wenchmans works too, especially during Stampede. You know, they're wenches of all kinds. Lady wenches, men wenches, Wenchmen.
Wench is a word that I'm very uncomfortable around. I love it, but yeah. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it.
I know.
Not.
It is one of those words.
It's a word that sometimes I'll hear in context where I didn't think it was appropriate. I'm like, oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can say that
word. I don't know if you are allowed to or not. Wenchmans, if you say it like that, though, sounds a little less harsh, so we'll just stick to that one.
It's kind of like broad.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that either.
I think it depends on the context, right? I think maybe it does for Wenchmans as well, as you just have to say it in a way where it's not overly offensive.
But okay.
It does, right? Though sometimes it comes up, oh my God.
What's the actual definition of wench?
That's actually a good
question. I'll look that up.
You look that up.
A girl or a young woman.
Okay.
And then it says the archaic definition is a prostitute. But
okay, so I mean, we should expand that to include men as well. All right, it's a modern day wenchman.
Wenchmans, hey,
come on!
This place is going to be a hit.
We're talking about how we should have capitalized on all the money that Ranchmans makes, right? Because when they were closed for a little bit there, we were like, oh man, we should jump in on this.
I said someone's going to buy it up before Stampede,
and they did.
Someone did. So
now maybe we could have our own knockoff version of that tent. Come to Wenchmans. Where the men are fast and loose, ready to party. Wenchmans. Do you mean Ranchmans? No. You heard me.
Where the women are wenches and the men love wenches.
That's true.
Wenchmans.
Come find your Stampede
owned by
Wench
Beckler
tonight.
And Shauna.
Wenchmans.
Maybe we could get all the Uber drivers in on it too. So when someone says, can you take us to Ranchmans?
I'm like, I'm Wenchmans sorry, I misheard you. Right yeah. Right here. Here's Wenchmans.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
There's this restaurant in my neighborhood that I think I've talked about before on the show. It's been like five different restaurants since I've moved here.
The cursed one.
Yeah, it's a cursed location. And someone said that that's usually because the rent is too high for the traffic it gets. And that's why these businesses all fail. No one ever seems to be able to make a go of it here. But when the newest iteration moved in, McKenna and I made a little bet that they would be closed by October. And not like cheering for them to close. We never want to see a small business fail,
definitely
a local
not.
Business fail, but just to kind of like mark the date and see how long this one could survive there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still open. We picked October.
Wow.
And they're still open 9 months longer than we thought. So my question is, while many businesses have been crushed by COVID, Would a business like that potentially have been saved by COVID? With the government support and the relief payments?
Yeah, I mean, there's a possibility for sure. From what I've heard from business owners, I mean, the government relief doesn't really cover the bills.
Well, that's what I thought.
Ease things. So they're still probably losing money, but maybe enough to stay afloat. Or maybe the person who they have to pay rent to or something is giving them a break because of COVID right now.
Potentially.
Who knows? Yeah. You know, maybe they've struck a deal of some sort where it's like, okay, just give me till things reopen and then we can renegotiate or...
It was surprising to me because they've lasted way longer than we expected at the worst possible time to be a restaurant. So it didn't really add up. And I was like, I wonder if, you know, if this has kept them on life support longer or maybe they're doing great. Who knows? Maybe their takeout is huge.
Well, and that's what we don't know. I mean, and I think there's a lot of businesses that are obviously trying to figure out ways to stay afloat. So I don't know if they're promising like, can you give me a break on rent right now? And then when things open back up, maybe I'll give you more down the line, like that kind of stuff. I don't know if those kind of deals are going on too, but maybe.
Well, when everything opens up, maybe I'll make a point to go there.
Go there.
Just kind of congratulate them on making it through.
Yeah. Hey.
You're in a cursed location and it's been COVID.
It lasted longer than we thought. I had a bet on this, actually.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
So I was just reading about how there are a couple of nude beaches in and around Calgary. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. No, so, I didn't.
I guess there's one at Weaselhead Flats, but it's about a 40-minute hike from the Weaselhead parking lot along this dirt trail. So it's not the main trail, obviously, because, of course, it's supposed to be a little more remote. So you take this dirt trail along called Hummingbird Trail, and I guess they encourage being nude the second half of that trail as well. So you can start stripping down and do the last half of the trail nude, and then you approach the beach from there.
It's almost like you cross into the kingdom of nude.
You're just far enough away from obviously other people and the risk of maybe a road and stuff. And then you can just start stripping down. I was like, I hope that people just throw their clothes as they go, you know, just like along the trail.
Oh,
yes, we're getting there.
Panties. What's going on here?
I might actually do a little exploration and see if I can find this nude beach. Because
really?
Why not?
Yeah. Will you go nude?
I would. I think I actually did a little nude exploration this past weekend. I was in this really like deserted remote area that I knew there was nobody around. So I took, it's like, why not? Nobody's here. Nobody has come by in a long time. Might as well take some layers off and strut around in the nude. No gotch or anything. Just feels good, you know? Although I find that as I get older, I'm becoming more open to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was growing up as a girl, like even in gym class, I would be uncomfortable dressing in front of or undressing in front of other girls. It was kind of just this thing. All the girls would go into their own change rooms and everybody would be kind of shy. And then as you get older, it's like you just kind of...
Is that bodily insecurity? Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think when you're growing up, you're very insecure about everything, right? So that's just that. And then as you get older, you're maybe a little more comfortable in your own body and you're like, this is me.
I've always been fairly comfortable with nudity.
I find guys are more so as well, just because of the locker room and the team sports thing. But
yeah. I mean, I think it'd be fun to check out a nude beach too. The only thing is, I don't know if I want to do it in the city where I live.
Fair.
Like I'd be more inclined to do it on vacation or something because...
Yeah,
if I'm out at this beach, and I'm, hey, there's Beckler.
I know.
There's Beckler's.
There's a Schmeckle. There it is, right there.
There it is. There's Beckler's Bratwurst.
The thing is that the people who go to nudist beaches and stuff, I think that everybody is very welcoming and open, and they wouldn't be the type of person to...
You're right.
You know, maybe try and flash a photo or do something like that.
You're right. Generally, I think there's probably an accepted...
Yeah.
Sort of attitude.
Very
there
different, but.
A certain type of person that's going, so.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I'll.
Well, let us know if you find it. I'd like to know more about it.
Yeah, strip her down and, you know, as I become more comfortable in my own body. It's funny, though, because I'm like, eventually will I become that lady who was drying her sin cave on the hand dryer at the gym? Because that's a level of.
When you reach that age?
That's an age. She was cool. I was like, okay, maybe I'll draw the line there.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, too. Like, is this nude beach going to be mostly old folks?
Probably.
Because, I mean, there was a nude beach just outside of Saskatoon when I grew up, and it was always like 98% naked old guys.
Naked so, Wang and Shauna. Yeah. No, it's fine. I'm fine with it.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
You were telling me there's actually another nude beach in Calgary in Fish Creek.
Yeah. It's crazy because it's kind of right all around where the main trails are.
Like I looked it up on the map that you sent me, and it's like 20 meters from a fairly major roadway.
It's crazy.
That would make me pretty nervous being that close to, like, civilization, you know?
But also, you know,
twist your knickers a little bit, you know?
Kind of a thrill, kind of tickle
bit
your
of a
pee-pee
thrill. There. You just like, a little tickle there, you know? You're like, oh, we're so close to danger.
Because, you know, like, I've gone for the odd, like, nude dip if you're in a really secluded part of a river or something.
Yep.
But that feels like, okay, there's no risk here, right? You're way off in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, we used to, but skinny dipping was a part of my childhood. We did it all the time. We do it in the pool at night, and then we do it in the river, and like, oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it was a big thing looking back. Very strange, actually. But yeah, we'd do it as, it would be a family affair at the odd time. We do it at night in the...
The whole family?
Not my dad, but the women. The ladies would do it at the river when we were like young kids. My mom and my aunts, because it was pitch black by this river and there were no lights. So everybody would just like, they'd have their towels. And then you wouldn't see anything, but everybody would drop the towels and run in for like a midnight river dip, you know? It's always very fun.
I'm picturing in your swimming pool and Bill's looking out the window like, Jesus.
Yeah, that one was a little more. Although, geez, do you remember when I caught my parents skinny dipping?
No.
Disgusting. I was home. It was last summer or the summer before that. And in the middle of the night, I saw them there skinny dipping in the pool. I was like, oh. Ugh.
Well, it's their pool.
It is. It's
their freaking pool.
I'm home. Wait till I'm not there. All right? I don't want to see my parents naked in the pool.
I'd be nervous, like in the like that one beach though, in the middle of the city, where it's like anybody could come walking down this trail.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and I think they just kind of know that. I wonder if like you see somebody coming down the trail, like, and you can tell that they're kind of lost. If you don't yell to warn them, just so you know,
nudity over here.
Nude beach.
We got
wangs. We got all kinds of wangs. Are you cool with that?
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
You love your car. Bet you'd love lower interest and lower payments, too. Refinance your auto loan with House of Cars and love the freedom of having more money in your pocket. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
So the Montreal Canadiens swept the Winnipeg Jets last night.
That's crazy. Carey Price is insane.
Oh.
It's on fire.
He's playing scary.
Holy.
There's some strange things about this. So the Jets are only the third team in the NHL history since they moved to a best of seven playoff format to play only eight games in the playoffs. Now, for that to happen, you have to sweep your first series and then get swept in your second series.
Right.
That's only happened twice before. It's only the third team that's ever done that. Montreal hasn't like trailed in a game in like 437 minutes or something, which is the second longest run in NHL playoff history. Like it's been pretty wild.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to know, though. Are the Montreal Canadiens now Canada's team?
No.
Are they?
No.
Like, they're the sole Canadian team in the playoffs. The idea of cheering for the Habs is probably pretty unpalatable to many hockey fans.
I'm not. I can't. I'm sorry.
But people always talk about bringing the cup back to Canada.
I'm a Leafs fan. I cannot cheer for Montreal. That's just not something I can do. I'm sorry.
I don't know if I could either as a Bruins fan.
Oh,
but
God. No, you can't even just throw, can't ruin my day. Like, I just throw that out there, just like, oh, yeah, Canada's team. No.
I've been saying all along that I think whoever comes out of the North Division was so weak that whoever comes out is going to get crushed in the third round. But that wasn't considering the Carey Price factor.
I know. He's insane right now.
And
he's
could very well steal a series from another team.
If you have a hot goalie like he is right now,
man.
And like, he's beyond hot. There's hot and then there's sizzling. He's there.
They're sizzling on.
He's like unstoppable. It's crazy.
Also, the Canadians did us all a favor and eliminated the Leafs. So does that make them?
No, it doesn't.
More attractive? Are they Canada's? Is it Canada's team?
Circling back to this. No.
Your Montreal Canadiens?
No.
How does that sound?
No.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I don't know if you saw this, Beckler, but the Jays got blown out 13-1 on Friday night.
Oh.
And there were some Blue Jays fans in the stands in Buffalo who decided as the game was going so badly that they were going to make their own entertainment. So they started this giant cup stack. And they started...
A beer snake?
A beer snake. So just with the cups that they had at first, but then I guess a lot of sections around, as everybody was getting kind of bored with the game, all started taking note of this stack. So then people from other sections were coming, contributing to this stack as well, and everybody kind of just started joining in.
Man, you know your team is sucking.
Oh my God.
More exciting than the game, hey?
Absolutely. Even the commentators started talking about it, too. It was pretty funny. Like, everybody knew the game was over, so you might as well.
It's a beautiful night at the ballpark where the Jays are taking a whooping, down 12 runs in the sixth.
Fans aren't actually watching the game anymore. They've started to form a giant stack of cups to keep themselves entertained.
I believe they call that a beer snake, Tabby.
I mean, your team sucks, so you might as well do something to keep yourselves entertained.
Vlad Jr. pokes it to left, but look at those cups, my God!
Oh, he's throwing out a check, and there must be 86 of them or so on that stack.
Just a reminder that Tuesday night there's a home game, but hopefully there'll be another stack of cups like this.
Think they can beat this one?
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
I was up for a bike ride yesterday, and I through some of the residential neighborhoods that like neighbor my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I like to ride. I like to explore new streets if I see a path or like a catwalk between houses, I'll take it even if I don't know where it goes.
Yeah.
I think you and I ride a little different because you have like a proper road bike.
I do.
And you're mostly on the paths and stuff, right?
Yeah, but I venture off because the paths have like 500 paths that go breakaway everywhere. So yeah. I will always venture over those and like try and get lost in the path system. But yeah, I'll start on the Bow River Pathway and then venture off of those.
Like I ride through the residential neighborhoods like I'm being chased by the police.
That's pretty.
I think if you saw me bike past your house, you're like the police are looking for that guy.
But you also live kind of outside of, whereas I live right downtown, so there aren't a ton of residential areas close by that I can kind of rip through to.
Good point. I have fairly easy access to the Glenmore Reservoir and then the pathway from there. But mm-hmm. it's some fun to change it up sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But I wonder what people think. Like, I have a $300 mountain bike and no helmet and just this
pretty funny.
Crazy long hair. But anyway, I took what I thought was a path yesterday, the little catwalk path between neighborhoods.
Yep.
Turns out it was just someone's really long driveway into their backyard. So next thing I know, I'm biking around in someone's backyard, like on their back patio.
Oh.
Like looking in their house. And I was like, I need to get out of here. This is not where I thought it went.
They didn't have a fence. They just had a long, oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was like a driveway, but it was really rough asphalt. So it looked like a path.
Okay.
So I followed it. And I'm like, huh, this doesn't spit out anywhere. This is someone's property.
Whoopsie daisies.
And then it was a nicer neighborhood too. My parents pointed out they probably had a security camera in the backyard. And so someone's at work getting pinged. Who is this in our backyard? Like, they definitely thought I was casing the place.
I mean, honestly, if you don't have a fence, then how would you know?
It's true. It really looked like a path from the street. And maybe it happens all the time. Maybe it's a game to them. Where
well,
they're like,
yes, it probably is. It's also like in Mount Royal, there's a rich person who has, they have their own street name for their driveway. And I'm like,
really?
If you have a street name on your driveway, there's a good chance people are going to think that's a road, you know?
That's true. And even like I bike through like Pump Hill and Palliser sometimes, and it's like, the houses are the lots are so big that you don't realize there's a house at the mm-hmm. end of it. Is that a street or is that someone's driveway? I don't know.
It's tough to know sometimes if you don't have a gate. Well, you're in a gated community.
Oh, the gate is malfunctioning.
Oh, the gate isn't working. My bad. The long hairs are going to be in your backyard then.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars. Until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.